Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Once again, everyone, I'm your host, Ray Shasho, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552, or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. And by the Rockstar Chronicles Series 1, that's my new book, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know. Available now at bookbaby.com. Born and raised in West Memphis, Arkansas, Shirley began singing in the church choir at age 9. That's Shirley King. When she was 13, she met another music legend, Etta James. Young Shirley was so impressed by Etta's performance that she made Etta her musical role model. Ruth Brown and the late Mahalia Jackson also greatly influenced the fledgling singer. Shirley says, I grew up around the stage watching my dad become famous, but I never imagined I'd become a blues singer, too. Miss King came late to the blues, first trying it in 1990. Within 6 months, she was a regular performer at famed Chicago blues club Kingston Mines. 2 years later, she released her first CD, Jump Through My Keyhole. In 1999, Shirley released her highly acclaimed blues album, Daughter of the Blues, which featured her soulful, bluesy versions of classics like Wang Dang Doodle, Sweet Home Chicago, Every Day I Had the Blues, and fittingly, The Thrill Is Gone. Once her father caught her act, he lent his full support to Shirley's effort at carving out her own career. She admits that having a legendary father helped open some doors for her, but it was her talent, charisma, and high-energy stage presence, along with her big, beautiful singing voice, that put her on the musical map. From traditional blues to gospel to funky R&B to smooth soul, Shirley defies genre, and her singing and stage antics never fails to excite her growing number of fans worldwide. Shirley also believes in giving back. She has also worked with kids as an artist in residence with the highly acclaimed Urban Gateways Arts and the Schools Program at Chicago Public Schools, and continues to expose school children to the history blues has played in American culture. Amen to that. Shirley also published her memoirs in 2017 entitled Love is King, which is dedicated to her father. It goes into detail about her life with her dad, to whom she was very close. Blues Hall of Fame guitarist Joe Louis Walker, who we are interviewing on Monday, who guests on two tracks on the new album, said, I've had the honor of performing on two B.B. King albums. Now I have the distinct honor and pleasure of playing on his daughter's album. Shirley King, who is also my dear friend. Keep the thrill going on, Shirley. With her powerful voice and outgoing personality, Shirley always rocks the house, whether it's on an international stage, a festival, or a nightclub. She's ready to bust out bigger than ever on her own in a way that would make her daddy proud. Make sure to come along for the ride. Please welcome revered blues singer Shirley King, who also happens to be the daughter of the legendary B.B. King, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Shirley.
Hello, hello, hello. I am so glad that I was brought on like that, because most of I'll pay you later on for all that good commercial.
You know, I got to interview your sister, Claudette. I was on another radio station, and she was at the airport. And it was she's also great. I love Claudette. She's the blues queen.
Well, she didn't realize in order to be the queen, you got to pay the dues first. So I let her be what you want to be, but I told her, don't come out here half-stepping behind B.B. King's name. People will judge you. I know.
It's
rough being B.B. King's daughter. You better have what you're supposed to have.
Exactly. And you're the oldest, right?
I'm the oldest, and she's supposed to be the baby girl, and she kind of waited till Daddy passed, and thought it was easy just to run out here and do it, and she got disappointed. I think she kind of, you know, wanted people to accept, I'm B.B. King's daughter, so that's all. No, it's not like that. They want you to add up to it for some strange reason. I'm surprised you didn't get asked 50 times if you played a good time, because everybody sees Daddy as this god. He's a god to people.
Right.
So it's almost like it's a rough life going behind him. It's a rough life being related to him, because people just think of him as this inhuman person. And I still have to sometimes, you know, fight with people about, oh, people ain't got no kids. People ain't got no life. Didn't you just hear that man said I was his daughter? You know, we would be standing in a dressing room. We would be in a dressing room with my dad.
Uh-huh.
My dad would say, that's my daughter. She sings the blues too. Oh, BB, you ain't got... He said, well, I think I would know what I got. You know, it's been rough. It's, you know, you have to pay many dues.
That's right.
Being BB King's anything, because people just got him and Lucille by their self.
You got to live up to the name, you know? You really do.
Yes.
You know, there were four music artists I'll always remember since I was a little kid that were kind of mainstays, and they're almost part of the family because you grew up with them. One is Frank Sinatra, Johnny Mathis, Ray Charles, and B.B. King. They were always there since I was little, you know? Wow. Always in the limelight.
Wow. That's a good group right there.
That's a good group.
That is the group right there. You know, I didn't get a chance to meet Ray Charles, but I think I saw him maybe about twice.
He
did a show, and I saw him, and of course I couldn't get backstage because I wasn't with my dad.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't have the proof to tell the people I was really his daughter. But anyway, I didn't get a chance to meet him, but I did eventually start an agent call that was booking his daughter, the one that passed.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot her name now, but anyway, she was singing and making a name for herself, and she had lived the identical same life. She had lived the same drug thing and all this stuff
right. That
her dad had did. And she was pretty good as a singer, too, and she did get a chance to perform with Claudette, because Claudette lived down in Atlanta.
That's right.
But when her agent tried to get me to do something with her, she wanted me to, you know, really come out here and get the gigs. Like, it was my job to, you know, let the daughter of another legend work on without. So I was like, well, what about me working on the other daughter's legend? So, you know, maybe we could work this out together.
Sure.
It didn't work out.
Yep.
But I was really amazed. I was amazed at all the world talent that my father played with that I end up knowing just because I was around him all my life. Because I'm his only child that he put with his family raised.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, he put another daughter in the house with his family. But the rest of the kids kind of grew up with their mother, and they didn't have the chance to be around him like I did.
Right.
So I think I really sucked in more of his energy because I was always there from the time I was 2.5 years old up until he left this earth. So I think that's when I don't have a relationship with the rest, because they kind of, you know how it made it look like you're the favorite, but my dad really didn't let none of us be like that. He didn't want people being jealous of each other. I mean, he couldn't stop it from being that way. It is that way. But he never wanted that to be. He tried to let us all know I love everybody equally, and anything I can do to help any of you guys or whatever, I'm all of y'all daddy. I'm not some people daddy. I'm no matter what you do. If you don't do nothing but just be my child, you don't have to sing the blues to be my daughter or son.
Right.
So he did try to do that, but it didn't work. Because right now, I'm not talking to nobody, and ain't nobody talking to me. I take that back. One sister called me today. The fighting before going on so strong till it really made it bad. But one sister called me today and congratulated me. Her name is Rita. She lives out in Las Vegas. You know, she called me today and told me how proud she was of me. That made me very happy because I have family on my mother's side and on my father's side, and I'm not connected to neither family.
Right.
I have six brothers and sisters on my mother's side. I got 14 on my daddy's side, and I don't have a relationship with nobody.
Well, Christmas, I was going to say, Christmas must be pretty expensive with all the family like that, but, you know.
Well, Christmas is expensive, and guess what? My daddy handled it. And some of them got greedy and started following him up and down the road, so they were getting Christmas every day. We don't know the difference in Christmas compared to getting money whenever we wanted.
Yeah.
Because my daddy was very generous with all his kids, and the grandkids, really, you know, grandkids always ease in.
Right.
From the better hustler.
Yep.
So the grandkids and some of the greats, my dad is just, he was in seventh heaven to be around these huge group of people calling him daddy and granddaddy and giving them money and showing them love.
Yep.
That was his life. He didn't have love in that, and I'd be lonely like.
I tell you
so,
what.
Hey, go away. But you know what? My dad said, these are people that will not have me that long.
Yeah.
So he really tried to look forward to the generation that wouldn't get a chance to enjoy
exactly.
Because the ones that he did have around, they got a chance to get everything they wanted out of B.B. King. Because he tried to make up for not being there and being a father.
You know, and I'm so glad you're out there because, you know, the new generations need to know about your dad. You know, and sometimes I get mad at the new generations because they got all these kind of phones and everything else to they look up history of music and this and that, and they don't bother. You know, I've interviewed so many people, so many legends, and I ask the young generation about them. Oh, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. And it makes me mad.
Well, let me tell you why. Can I explain why that is? Because, first of all, I am B.B. King's daughter. Now, this always amazed people, but I have to be very honest because I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the blues. You know, Afro-Americans do not care about the blues.
Uh-huh.
You know why? Because they say they live the blues. They don't want to hear it.
Right.
So when they go somewhere, they go and hear jazz, or they're going to hear some R&B.
Sure.
But they don't support the blues. That's why when you came to B.B. King's show, what did you see in his audience?
Mm-hmm.
When you came to see B.B. King.
Oh, yeah, white audience. A white audience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they support the blues. They love the blues.
Right.
So when I was doing my, I don't do it anymore.
Right.
The people started getting jealous because I was getting all the shows from everybody.
Uh-huh.
But when I was doing Urban Gateway, going into these assemblies, when I would go to a school where the school was majority Afro-American.
Right.
The people had to promise the kids they were going to give them a party or something so they would come to the blues assembly. When they had the assembly, it was dancing or anything else. But when they said it was going to be a blues assembly, the kids started skipping class and carrying on. I went up in there and I realized, first of all, my daddy got lucky because he got on Sesame Street.
I saw that.
Sesame Street. He got on Bill. You know, he was exposed to the point where people didn't know him, but they knew of B.B. King because he probably got way more attention in things that blues people don't get a chance to get to.
I agree.
When I would go to the school, people be thinking B.B. King gonna come there with me. The kids, I didn't care what they had to think, as long as I got them in that room.
Right.
You know what I knew? You know what I knew?
What's that?
I knew when I got them in that room, I had them.
Uh-huh.
I already knew that. I'm like, just get them in here. Lock them in. Get them in here. And I'm going to tell, Michael Jackson going to be here with me. Get them in the room, lock the door, and leave them in here with me.
That's funny.
You know, when I started going doing those assemblies, and the kids started coming in there, and the way I presented it, I let them sing the blues, I showed them how it was to sing the blues, I talked about my dad, I carried a little plate, like guitar around with it so they could act like they was B.B. King. They were fighting to come back in the second assembly.
Yep.
They would try to sneak back in the second assembly. So we're not going out there enough to leave the room where kids want to respect us. You take something to them now. Don't go in there all depressed and crying on yourself and losing all, because kids don't like this. They don't care about their pants hanging down there and say, but you better not go in there with your pants hanging down. So I had to realize how to make this work, and it worked so good for me, because I did about 200 and some schools the short time I was with Urban and Gateway. I was doing so many gigs, sometimes I would do 3 and 4 shows a day, because the schools started liking what I was doing, the kids started liking it. I would call the teachers up there and have them jamming, and have the students going crazy, because they saw their teacher up there singing the blues. Then they want to get up there and show their teacher, they could outdo them. I would make it a party. And when you doing things, when you meeting people where they at, it brings them to you. And so I ran into some of the students that saw me perform, and now they out here with blues bands. And they're pretty good.
I love that.
They're pretty good.
I love that. Making the blues fun, you know? I love that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't go in there. I go in there, and they laughing. Because I'm doing their good dance and talking about the blues and talking about got my mojo working. And then now they want to ask me questions. They want to ask me, what is a mojo?
Yep.
And I almost had to Google search because I didn't know myself at first. But anyway, when you can get kids interested, then they will want to do what's fun. Nobody, old or young, wants to be involved in things that's not fun.
Right,
and that's why people used to love going to see my dad, because he would sit there on the stage and talk to them,
that's
having laughing, flirting with the women, and talking about Viagra. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You didn't go to BB Comics. He was the performer, he was the musician, he was the vocalist, he was the comedian, he was a one-man show, which is what I am.
Yeah.
I go into a show, I'm up there, people be telling me, oh my God, you're so funny, you can be a comedian. I said, well, now you tell me that, and I go and be a comedian, you're going to lose your blues thing. Now, what do you want? You want the blues thing or the comedian? So I said, let me just do both of them. Let me stay with the blues and be funny on the stage. And that works for me. It works for me all over the world. People that cannot speak any English, they look at the ground I walk on. When I go and perform one time in other countries, people love me because they can't understand sometimes what I'm saying, and I make a joke out of that. I say, now, I know you don't understand my language, but you gotta watch my hand and watch my hip, and they'll talk to you. And when you see my hip doing something, you know what that means. That means shake it up. And, you know, and they start laughing, and before I walk off the stage, they are singing with me. They can't speak no English, but they can sing the blues.
That's awesome.
They're going to sing my dad's songs.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Charlie, you just
have to do it a certain way.
I got to tell you, Blues for a King, I gave it 5 stars. It's a fantastic album. I know you're getting rave reviews over it. It's incredible. I want to talk a little bit about the album. First of all of My Lovin', which features Joe Louis Walker, who we're going to have here on Monday. The engineering and producing of this album is incredible. The sound, to me, sounds exactly like you did back in the 60s or early 60s for that song. And, you know, you sound like a top 40 legend from back in the day. It's you know that? You really do.
When am I going to get this tape? When am I going to have this to go and show off? Oh, my God. Listen to what you say.
Oh, it's incredible. I love that song. Oh, My Lovin', you know, with Joe Louis. Oh, man. It sounds, you know, I grew up in Baltimore and D.C., and I love R&B. I grew up all around R&B music, and that's probably that and rock and roll is probably, you know, my number one loves. So, you know, I love the blues, but I really love R&B, and I really love All of My Love, and it's a great tune.
Oh, wow. You know, they gave me a chance to put the lyrics to that, because when they sent me the song, they didn't send me no lyrics, and they thought,
really?
Hey, if you write, you can write these 2 songs. And I'm sorry I didn't try. I'm sorry I didn't at least try, because when they got one of the producers to put some lyrics there and send them back to me, I'm like, man, this is like reading a book. I could have did this. But, you know, I let them get it because I didn't want to attempt to do nothing.
Right.
That my name was riding on the line. Cleopatra's Records
was
my first chance.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted everything to be like they wanted. But I really thought, man, this is one of these good Motown style
exactly.
songs.
It
you
is.
Know,
yeah.
I heard the Supremes on that song, and then when they told me Johnny, what's Johnny, the Johnny song, when they told me that was the old Temptation song, I was like, oh my God! These people got me singing all these men songs, and they even got me singing a Temptation song. I just thought, they got something wrong with them. They're sending me songs, I'm a blues singer, uh-huh. and they're sending me all these songs, and it has nothing hardly to do with blues, except it's rocked out, and then you're telling me to sing them, and they are men songs.
Right.
So I'm saying, that's all right, baby. I end up saying, like the man, because you know, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you know, they brought me out of my comfort zone, but I'm so glad I listened to my dad when he was around, and he told me when somebody pays you to do something, don't ask questions, just do the best job you can do. And once you do the best you can do, it's up to them. You know, they accept it or they won't. But if you go to doubt yourself and don't do something, you ain't gonna never make no
exactly.
He told me that.
Well, you're a great R&B singer too. You know, I mean, I can hear you singing all the classics and writing your own songs in that format.
I have 20 songs. I have 20 songs that original that has never gotten a chance to be on nobody's CD.
Oh wow!
Because when somebody paid me to do something,
right.
I have to do what they tell me to do. So I got some. If you like R&B, I got some stuff you would love.
Oh, I hope you release it. I really do.
Well, what I'm gonna do, I use it on Facebook and everything
right.
because when I was trying to use my dad's music on there, Facebook would shut me down because they say I was messing with somebody's copyright. And other people use my dad on there and say what they folks say and they wouldn't mess with them. But soon as I try to say something about my dad, they'll mute my Facebook Live. So I start playing my music when I'm doing
right.
Facebook Live, and I'm doing that tonight at 9:15.
Oh,
I will
awesome.
Be blowing up Joe King original music
good.
Along with this CD.
Good, good,
I will
good.
Be blowing it up at 9:15.
Awesome. You did a song. Now did you write with Elvin Bishop on I Did You Wrong?
I didn't write with nobody. I don't even know those guys. I never met anybody.
Really?
I only talked to Joe Louis Walker because he was a real friend of my father.
Right.
Out of all the famous people that had ran up behind B.B. King and said they was his friend. And Joe Louis Walker had never met me.
Uh-huh.
I had never met him. But when my daddy died, he got on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He found me. He got on the phone. He called me, asked me what's all right. He talked to me a little while, and he tried to connect me with his booking agent.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't work out because I didn't have the lawyer to read the contract.
Right.
So I stayed away. But Joe Louis Walker was the only famous person called me when my dad died.
Wow.
Only one. And then to come back around to the circle and for him to be on my CDs and be playing, you know, I'm like, God, this whatever's meant to be will be. Because I'm pretty sure now, you know, they want to throw a tour together with me and Joe. They'll do it now because there's a purpose and a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But at first, like I said, when Cleopatra, I don't know anybody at Cleopatra Records. I never met Brian, the label owner. I never met John Lester, the guy that's getting all these interviews. I never met anybody. I don't know none of the guitar players, none of the people that's running the record label, none of the PR guy that's getting all these interviews. I don't know any of them.
Really?
Never met any of them.
That's interesting. But you must know a lot of people, like, you know, from your dad, right?
I know a lot of people from my dad, but none of the people I know from my dad is involved with this.
Right.
These are all new people
right.
that, you know, were famous too, but they didn't really come. Some of them told me they didn't get a chance to, you know, record with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people saying, hey, I know BB and I would have loved to have recorded
sure.
with him, but he's gone now. Okay, I'll take that chance of doing it with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
I figure that must be what they decided. You
yeah.
know what I'm going to say? Well, BB is gone, so we can't record with him. Okay, we'll do that with his daughter.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting
yeah.
array. It's an interesting array of musicians. You got Elvin Bishop with the "I Did You Wrong," which is a great song, fantastic song. And I think you got a single out or a video out for that song. You got "That's All Right, Mama," which is a great version with Pat Travers in the background on guitar. Can't Find My Way Home, of course, with Steve. It's a Steve Winwood song. Martin Barr from Jethro Tull's on that. All your versions are incredible. They're so good. I love them all.
Everything was done by Cleopatra Records. I knew nothing about none of those songs. And the only song I knew about was Ed Land.
Right.
And
right.
I did know about Junior Wells' song because I used to see him here in Chicago.
Right.
But all the rest of those songs, that was totally Cleopatra's choice.
Well, they did a great job. You both did a great job on the album. It's incredible.
And the way they came up with, I don't know because I've never asked them, but we've been so busy promoting the CD. But I don't know if John did all the selection of the Good Top Players, because I am being NPR and working with all these different people. I think he was able to get the Good Top Players to come over there and play with us. I'm not sure how nothing went once the track left Sugar King's hands.
Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful album. Again, you got Johnny Porter with it's a Ry Cooder song. Arthur Adams is featured on that. You've got, Feeling Good. You know, the Robin Ford's on that one. Is a Nina Simone song. Give It All Up.
I know.
Wow.
Great
song.
Know. You know what? I'm telling you what they must have started thinking. Wait a minute. This is a female we recorded. We got to get her at least two women's songs.
It's about time.
Excuse me. I'm doing all these men's songs. What about a couple of women's songs? And I didn't ask them for it. I didn't tell them what to do.
Right.
But all the dirt they sent me, that song, Feeling Good, and I listened to it with Michael. And I was like, oh, no. Can't have it, Michael. Then I listened to it with Nina Simone, the preacher of the righteous.
Right.
And I kind of said, okay, that might be just sad to get bad. So that's what helped me get through that song, because that's a deep song.
That's a great
that's
tune.
That's a deep song. That Nina Simone song. It's deep.
Another tune that sounds like the early 60s is Give It All Up with Kirk Fletcher.
Those were the first two. They sent me three songs at first. They didn't give me all the songs because they knew it would have grown me crazy.
Right.
They gave me those three songs at first, and they gave me a chance to write the first two songs that you just talked about.
Right.
And then when they sent me Johnny Porter, they told me that was a Temptation song.
Right.
And I listened to it, and I was like, okay, this is a fun song.
Mm-hmm.
Then they started sending me songs that would scare me to death, like, what is a toll of
Gallows Pole. Yeah, the lead belly.
I actually just listened. I sit in the studio one day. One day I went up in there because they gave me less than a month to get 11 pounds to it. So I sit in the studio one day and just started crying. I can't do this. I can't do this. And then I would talk to John and he would say, you know, you got a great voice. You can do it. Just do the best you can and send it to us and we'll take it from there. And so I said, okay, I done got paid. Don't want to get the money back. So I'm going to go in here and do what I got to do.
Well, you know what? That's not an easy song to do. And, you know, Lead Belly, of course, the original guy for that. Then Led Zeppelin did it. But your version is incredible. You mastered you mastered
I'm
every
loving,
track.
I'm loving you. I gotta hate you, man. You really pumping me up. I thought I was gonna have to have one wheelbarrow to carry my head around. I think I'm gonna have to get two wheelbarrows to take my head around when I can be talking.
You are wonderful. Every track you nailed it. You really did. And of course your all time favorite, you got to sing an Etta James song at last.
And I didn't want to sing that. I really did, because here's the way I feel about Etta James.
Okay.
I don't care how good a singer is and they sing at last. I think in my mind, nobody should sing that song but Etta James. That is my feeling on that.
Right.
And two of her songs that was traveling with her when she was out here performing is still around.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping when I run into them, they can say something as positive as you're saying about that, because when people are trying to sing my dad and stuff and they look at me like they wait for me to, you know, let them know what I think, I just kind of be real nice and laugh and, you know, if it's good, I'll say it, but ain't too many people can step on my dad. So I have to be careful not to be a ugly person and judge people, but, you know, when they trying to hit my dad and don't just give credit to everybody when they think they're playing my daddy's style of music.
Right.
So I'm hoping whenever James Bond, you know, hear this, and if I run into him, they feel, you know, they're not going to tell me I sound like their mother. I don't want them to do that.
Right.
But I do want them to be happy that I honored their mother on my TV.
Sure.
Because everybody in the world knows Shirley King, loves Ella James.
Yep.
Everybody know that.
What was Ella James like?
Wasn't a people person. Was not a people
really?
Person. Was not a people person. And every time, you know, I saw her four or five times and tried to get to her and shake her hand, tell her who I was and everything. Wouldn't allow nobody to come near. She would not talk to me. And I called her just thinking, hey, let me go and talk to my daddy about this because she's doing all these shows and blah, blah. So I went out to daddy. Could you do me a favor? You know, I tell everybody, Ella James is my hero. Could you introduce me to her? But he said, honey, he said, let me tell you one thing. That woman be on my shows with me, and she don't even talk to me.
Oh, my God.
She be on shows with me, and she don't even talk to me.
Yeah.
He said, I can't help you with that. I can't do nothing about that, because Ella, you know, she's Ella. She's just not that kind of person.
Yeah.
Guess who gave me one chance, one only chance to talk to Ella James?
Who's that?
My son. My son was out on the road with my daddy.
Uh-huh.
In some kind of way, I don't know what he did to charge Ella James, but he got Ella James to call me on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
And when he got on the phone, he said, Mama, somebody want to wish you a happy birthday.
Wow.
And she got on the phone, and he didn't tell me who she was, right?
Uh-huh.
He started talking. He didn't have to say nothing else. I almost said it. I was like, at the end, he was just saying stuff like, you know, it looked like she was trying to make my son happy. She was talking to me.
Uh-huh.
She was just saying stuff like, I love you. You know, you're my... I'm like, wait a minute. Miss James, you're lying, but I don't care. Just lie to me. The fact that you're talking to me, you can say anything you want to say to me.
That's so funny.
Oh, my God. One time.
Oh, my goodness. So, shit, you didn't get it on tape or anything, did you? That would have been nice.
I wish. So if I got it on tape, guess what? Any night I go in there singing that last, I would have had a game call me on stage, which is what I'm going to do. When I go on stage and start my show, my daddy's going to introduce me. He's going to call me on the stage. The MC can bring me on, but when I start singing, it's going to be because B.B. King said what he said at Tinley Park.
Uh-huh.
He said, ladies and gentlemen, this is my daughter. She lives in Chicago.
Right.
And I want you all to give her a round of applause. And I'm going to bring her out here. And they couldn't find me because I had got lost. So I didn't know he was going to call me on that night.
Uh-huh.
And he up there hollering, Shay! Shay! Shay Ann! Where you at?
That's
the
funny.
Daddy wants you. And I'm going to have that every night coming out there on the stage. Every night people going to hear that. They're going to hear B.B. King calling Shirley King on the stage.
That's funny. Well, your household, you know, when your dad was home, must have been great. It must have been awesome.
He wasn't never home.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He wasn't never home.
Yeah.
He wasn't. And if he had been home with all these 100-some people he had, it wouldn't have been so good for all of us.
Yeah.
Because everybody wanted his attention. So what my dad would do, he had all of us lived in different places.
Mm-hmm.
So when he would come where we were there, we would show up at the hotel and we would be entertained in his hotel room.
Oh, okay.
My daddy didn't come home.
Yeah.
He came through and dropped his stuff off because everything somebody gave him, he worshipped it. I don't care if they gave him a flower. He kept it.
Yeah.
So he would come home, unload his stuff, drop his stuff off, and keep on going. My daddy was at home the first time ever on Christmas 2014 before he left this earth. He tried to be a father for one Christmas with the few people that could come to Vegas because people always expected him to give us money to come see him. And so a lot of them didn't have no money, and I was glad of that. So only a few of us were there. He sat at the table and tried to joke and laugh, and he was sick. He was pretty sick.
Yeah.
But he tried to be a father. I guess he felt he was leaving us, and those few that were there that night, I don't know how they're feeling nowadays to think about, I finally got a chance to spend a Christmas with my father.
Right.
I had been around my father all the many years, and I had never had a Christmas at home with stuff out.
Well, that's sad. But, you know, you got, I guess you, that's the price of fame, I guess, you know? That's I guess that's the price of fame, you know? You have to go out there and entertain all the time.
That's what he, you know, that's what he always was saying. He feels so bad how most of us complain always about him not. He said, well, look how y'all like to spend money. Look at you. You're spoiled. You love to spend money. Well, if I had been at home with you all, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
And so it made sense to me. And it really made sense to me because I didn't have to depend on my daddy to give me money.
Right.
He did something so well, I could come out here and make my own money.
Right.
And do like he did and make money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was a good father.
Yeah.
He was one of the best. So where he couldn't be, he made up other ways. And you know, the more kids start coming in the picture, the more he started finding time to give us a little bit of time. I mean, he would be at the hotel and just got off the job and sit up with his audience and fans for maybe 2 or 3 extra hours. Then he'll come to the hotel and sit up with his family until he couldn't sit there no more.
Yep.
You know, and talk to us and everything. So in the end, he tried to be the father and the famous BB King, and he did a pretty good job for both.
Yep. You know, you're from West Memphis, Arkansas, and...
Actually, I'm from Vincent, Arkansas, but it's such a little small area.
Right.
So West Memphis gets the credit because Vincent is like, if, you know, in Chicago, you call that a suburb. But down in Arkansas, it's just a little place outside of West Memphis.
Gotcha. And your dad performed on Sonny Boy Williamson's radio program in West Memphis.
Right.
And that's where he began to get an audience and everything. I guess that's around the time you were born, wasn't it?
No, he wasn't doing it when I was born. He started doing it after I had been here for a couple of years or so, because actually in 49, I was born in 49.
Right.
And in 49, he was still, you know, cat daddy. He was still married to his first wife.
Uh-huh.
He was still out here trying to make a name. Once the three of us were born in 49, three kids he took ownership of that was born in 1949. So he was just getting his feet wet. He wasn't out here that good shit.
Right.
About 52 or 53, that's when he started going over in West Memphis playing the gigs with Sonny Boy. So Sonny Boy was the famous BB King back in them days.
Right.
And he was working with everybody. He was on radio. He had everything, and he kind of liked my father. And not only that, my father was doing a little commercial. He was doing a little bit of radio on WBIA. So he was the person that could come in there and do that date for him and get the women to show up and get the club full. And the lady kind of liked that, so Sonny Boy might have been sorry. He brought BB King up there to do his gig, because after a while the lady was saying, look, oh, BB, go all these women up in here, and the husband come, and they happy because BB is entertaining the women, and they got their family. And after a while, when BB started looking all sexy and looking at the women the wrong way, I think the men was looking at BB like, wait a minute now, we don't mind you singing the blues for our wives, we don't want them trying to go home with you now. Yeah, because my daddy was very handsome. He was suave all the time. He was real smooth.
Yeah.
And he knew how to make the women really want. My mama said there was time when he would have at least 7 of his girlfriends in the room. And they all knew they were girlfriends. And they all knew each other.
Yep.
But they said not come up here and try to confront one another.
Right.
But BB King didn't tolerate that. You don't come to my show and show out. You know, if you want to come and be around me, you're welcome.
Yep.
But you cannot come up here and act a fool, because we don't play that. So my mom said she got tired of that. She left the crowd and went on and got married.
Yeah.
That's how I ended up staying with my father, because my stepfather wasn't going to feel so comfortable having legendary, famous BB King coming over his house to see his daughter's mother.
All right, Shirley. I got to ask you about this. Maybe you got a little bit from your dad. You wanted to be an exotic dancer?
I didn't want to be. I was the best.
Oh, my goodness.
I came out here to see. First of all, I had all the right equipment to dance with. I had the boom, bam, bow, bow, boom, body. Okay, everything was even my aunties and my daddy, all of them would tell me, how did you end up looking like that at 14? I look like I was about 17 years old. Uh-huh. I look like a stag mall. I mean, I went out here and made myself a little shape.
Right.
Sleeping in girlies all night because they have a little bit of a stomach. And when I got through sleeping in that girlie for 3 nights, I had a flat stomach. I had nice round hips. And they were to call me Shirley King, a body queen. And I ruled this town. I ruled it. This town. I didn't have to travel. I stayed in Chicago. I had the big name actor was coming to play here. I talked to Teddy Fielder for a little while. Jackie Wilson, what you trying to get?
Really?
I did with Al Green for 3 years, and man, come on, it was like going on. You know, I did it for 21 years, but
really?
You know, my kids had grew up, and I wanted to do some traveling,
uh-huh.
So that's when I switched to singing the blues.
So how extent of a dance did you do? Was it kind of like a cabaret type of thing, or what?
Look at you. Listen at you. No, you ain't trying to get all in my dancing thing. Wait a minute. You know what I'm going to do? I got something for you. I did a major movie with Rudy Ray Moore. I don't know if you're familiar with this movie. You can Google search it.
Okay.
They used to have it when it was on YouTube, but I believe they done took it off because after the movie, they wanted to make money with the movie.
Right.
And they didn't want it where you could go on YouTube and see it. But I was in Rudy Ray Moore movie called The Human Tornado.
Oh, okay.
And they had me to do a dance scene. And I don't know if you're ready for that. You too excited right now. I don't know if I need to recommend you to see that movie. But
I'm going
to
see it.
And this is a funny story. You're going to love this one. You're going to love this one. My dad didn't know I was in the movie because, you know, by me dancing and doing what I was dancing like I was,
uh-huh.
I didn't tell him nothing. I wanted to go and back up and be the king's face. That's your daughter. And you can't be looking all sexy out at your daughter. So I didn't tell him about it, right? But what happened, some of the band members got her to the DVD once it came out, you know, that way they bought the DVD.
Right.
And they was on the bus looking at the DVD, and they was in there having fun and hollering and laughing and excited. And my dad, he could never stand to see too much action and not know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So he eased from the back of that bus where his little room was. He came out, he was walking down through the aisle, he was looking at the guys having fun and looking at something, and he was walking, and as he walked a little bit closer, he looked, he said, "Phantom, is that your sister?" and my brother said, "Yeah, Dad, that's her." My dad said, "My Lord." And, you know, when I saw him, he said, "Honey, why you didn't tell me you was in the movie?" I said, "Well, Dad, I didn't think you would be happy with what I did in the movie."
Uh-huh.
He said, "Happy?" He said, "You used your talent, and you was in a major movie. I ain't been in a major movie yet."
Right.
He said, "Don't never be ashamed of doing something that, you know, like that." He said, "That was your talent. You're a very good dancer, mm-hmm. and you're doing a good job." And from that time on, when my dad would lose that DVD or somebody would steal it from him, here he come. "Honey, somebody stole my DVD. Could you give me another one of them?" I had to go and make a lot of copies, so every time he asked me for one, I could give him one.
Right.
He was so proud of me in that movie, and him and Rudy Ray Moore were kind of friends, because, you know, Rudy lived in Las Vegas, and Red Fox lived out there. So Daddy was around them guys, because sometimes they would be opening acts on the casino shows.
Yeah,
so he knew Rudy very well, and he thanked Rudy for putting his daughters into the movie with him.
Right.
And I did some things on my own that my dad got a chance to see, and he was proud of because he didn't have nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made him the most happy, to come out here and see me doing something where I could bring it to him and say, "Look what I did, Daddy." It was like showing him my report card with an A on it.
Well, I'm looking at the movie now. It's Human Tornado, 1976 it came out.
Yes, I had just had my daughter, so they had to put a lot of secrets and stuff all on my stomach. I had just had my baby. Rudy said, "I don't care what you're the name. If you still carry your baby, you're going to be in."
And your name was Shiril King, right? S-H-I-R-I-L-L. And that's what they got you down on.
Well, they might have misspelled it, okay. But my name has always been Shirley. And let my daddy tell you, he would say my name was Shirley Ann King.
Right,
but
right.
No, my name was Shirley King, but I noticed that if I put that I in front of that R, my name is Shirali.
So I might
try doing that next year. I might be coming out on the stage being called Shirali.
Shirali?
I got my daddy's name at the end of my name.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the movie. I'm going to get it. I'm going to watch it.
You are too much.
I got to now.
You are too much. I mean, come on now. You know, we done went all the way to this dancing thing, and you done went and found it already. I thought they had took it off. I didn't know it was still on there.
I got to see Shirl King, the exotic dancer. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? That's almost the only way you're going to see it, because when I was doing a lot of dancing, as many shows as I did, and as many times people came to see me, do you know we wasn't using videos and taking pictures too much?
Right.
I've been begging people, do they have any kind of videos on me when I was dancing?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have any pictures when I was dancing? Not hardly. Nobody got nothing from
my dancing.
Nothing.
That's a shame. That's a shame. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. You know, I visited the Kingston Mines. I was there. I went to Chicago and I bar hopped and went to all the blues clubs there. They're incredible. Chicago's awesome. I love Chicago.
And that's where I started seeing the blues. And oh my God, that's another good story you'll probably get excited to hear.
Oh yeah.
Because I went up in there and got a chance to get on the stage and didn't know no blues song. And I started doing my show from dancing. And fans stuff over and over. Then I saw the owner sitting in front watching what I was doing. I thought I wasn't going to get chance to get that job. I went and sit on his lap and brought my dancing over to the Kingston Mine. So I was one of the biggest acts at the Kingston Mine, because people just loved the way when they came there how Shirley King shook them here. I added my whole little dancing thing into singing, because I saw where people would get excited. And as you know, that was a club full of wildness. You know, you come up there, people come up in there night after night. Every time they have a convention, that's when everybody comes when they do with their convention, right? So people be coming up there with their three-piece suits on and looking all like they going to church. By the time we get through with them up in that case of mine, they be done took their towels and they be done loosen their shirt up and they be drinking and throwing money up in the air. Like, whoa. You know, that was one of them kind of places.
Yeah.
Case of mine have always been a place where people come to party and have a good time.
Oh, yeah. I stayed till closing time, and I sat at the bar with Doc Pellegrino, who was the owner.
Yeah, that was my boss.
And
that was my first boss to bring me in on the blues job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he gave me that job. He told me, after I got through shifting in his lap that night, he said, I don't hide nobody to find nobody. I don't find nobody to hide nobody. He said, as soon as I get a place, I'll be calling you. He must have did something, because less than 3 weeks, I was working there.
Well, Shirley, I didn't know you gave lap dances, too.
I didn't know it either, but it benefited me that night. That's what I did.
Hey, you know, if it'll get you the job, you know, you got to do it.
Yeah, he got me the job, and then it made people start showing up in there to see me every night.
Right.
Because they had never really seen nobody perform and do the things I did.
Yeah.
So I started working one night, then that's why he gave me two nights, then I was up to 4 to 5 nights a week working at Kingston Mine every week for about a year.
Chicago's a great town.
Kingston Mine.
I love Chicago. And the nightlife is incredible there. It really is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Shirley, I just want to
think about it. Before a lot of these legendary people died,
I know.
All these people used to be right here in Chicago.
I know.
Everybody.
Yeah. Shirley, I want to mention your memoirs also, Love is King. It's available, I believe it's available on Amazon. You can buy it at Amazon.com.
Yeah, that's the only way you can get it, because that's the way they control it to keep you from making money out.
I know. I got a couple of books on Amazon, and I don't want to say anything, but they don't help you.
No, this is the people, this is the agent that helped me build the book. He don't want to pay me, so it's controlled when it's on Amazon. So when I go and get the book to sell it, I have to pay the same amount of money you pay
I know.
To get the book.
I know.
And so I go and do it anyway because, you know, it looks pretty impressive to
right.
see a blue
sure.
with a book.
Exactly. It looks like a great book. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to go ahead and get it, you know, because you got some great stories.
Well, I like you. I like the excitement you are, and I like the fact that when you found out about me dead, I'm going to get that book and sign it, and you just send me a mailing address. I'm going to get the book for you, and I'm going to sign it. And
thank you.
I like somebody that gets excited about me.
You do that, and I'll send you my book. I got a new book out, too.
We'll do that. We'll do an even exchange. Okay.
There you go.
Send me a mailing address,
okay.
And I'll send you my mailing address, and we'll exchange books.
I'll give it to John. I'll email John.
No, you have to send your book to me, because what's happening is that I don't want to depend on waiting for something from somebody.
Okay.
And John is promoting Joe, he
right.
promotes other people, and
yep.
that's what caused him to be a little fussy, because
right.
he's trying to get everybody all these interviews,
right,
and
right.
if something gets messed up, you know, he's almost like ready to go at you for it, and it wasn't my fault. So,
yep.
I want you to send that book to me. I'm going to
okay.
send you a mailing address. You send me one.
All right.
And we're going to exchange the book to each other.
Sounds good. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Shirley, here's your last question, real quick. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
If I had a chance now that I did the CD and feel my confidence, I am looking forward to maybe eventually getting in the studio with Chris Stapleton. Because
oh.
I did Tennessee Whiskey and I knocked it out the eyes. I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to send you a remake
okay.
of what I did on my own.
Uh-huh.
It's not out, you know, I didn't do it to release it. I just tried it out. I liked the song. And when I found out that Chris Stapleton sung it, I went and Google searched him and listened to him sing it. I was like, gotta get on stage with him, man. Gotta get on stage with
right, him. Right. That'd be awesome.
So that's my dream.
Shirley, please, please, please put out that R&B. Of your original stuff, because you know that I will love that. I hope that gets released. I really do.
Well, when you send me a mailing address, I'll
okay.
get a burn a CD and send it so you can listen and let me know what you think.
I will. I sure will. Shirley, thank you so much for being on the show today. Good luck with the new album. 5 stars all the way. It's incredible. You're a fantastic person, multi personality. I love you.
Thank you, and I love you too. And when you look at that movie, you think about me, okay?
You know I will.
Oh, okay. All right, you have a good
All right, Shirley, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you, too.
Thank you. Purchase the brand new release by Shirley King entitled Blues for a King. It is incredible. 5 stars. Recorded in Chicago, the album features an amazing array of guests, including Steve Cropper, Elvin Bishop, Harvey Mandel, Robin Ford, Junior Wells, Martin Barr of Jethro Tull, Duke Rebillard, Joe Louis Walker, who we're going to talk to on Monday, Arthur Adams, Kirk Fletcher, and Pat Travers, all of who wanted to pay their musical respects to this talented daughter of blues royalty. And it's available now on Amazon.com. You can also purchase Shirley King's memoir, Love is King, B.B. King's Daughter Fights to Preserve Her Father's Legacy, by Shirley King and Dave Smitherman, also available at Amazon.com. For more information about Shirley King, also visit Shirley King Facebook, www.facebook.com/shirley.king.790. And also the B.B. King official website at www.bbking.com. Very special thanks to John Lappin Enterprises for arranging this interview with Shirley King and the dynamic duo, of course, of Doug and Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, you can contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. And please, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It's real news, people. And, of course, my new book is finally out, entitled The Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1, hopefully Series 1 out of 3 or 4. It chronicles truths, confessions, and wisdom from the music legends that set us free. Order yours today at hardcover, the collector's edition hardcover, or ebook at bookbaby.com. It features over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. It's also a Gold Star Award winner. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great week. Stay safe and healthy. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans, we shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on PBS Radio, Station 1.